You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Or is this like coin toss, Twitter questions, vamoose?
That could be quick. I mean, it doesn't need to be. This should be a shorter podcast, probably. But
there's Jordan trying to tell us how to run our lives again.
Jordan, you misunderstood. When I asked a question to the group, it was to everybody but you.
I was thinking about like a nice 2-hour podcast to really like let us get all of our wiggles. You know,
I
release
don't
our wiggles,
know what that means.
And,
I don't.
Just go from there. You know how we all have out. You know how we all have wiggles, and we have to release them at times.
Are you coming on to me?
And that's what I'm talking
about.
No,
I think John's coming on to all of us. I think he's.
No, I'm talking about.
I'm married.
I'm talking about
John.
The wiggles. But you still have to release your wiggles when things don't go your way.
Who's the bigger issue? Who gets more blame? And then we can use his to talk about.
Oh! He got his wiggles out. John just got his wiggles out.
Just had to release my wiggles.
I quit. This show is your guys' now. I'm done.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I gotta get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Well, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him. Is anybody else tired or is it just me? Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Fire Dom Capers, Pack to the Future podcast. I am your host, John Jameson. Man, you know, I'm going to tell you guys how I'm feeling right off the bat. I mean, obviously the Packers just got knocked out of the playoffs, and that's never an easy pill to swallow. But man, they resurrected their season, and they gave us hope, and that's all they really could do. And I mean, they ran the table, like Rodgers said. And they just brought some super solid football. And watching Rodgers play that last half of the season, I was watching a quarterback play the quarterback position in a way that I have never seen played before.
Never.
That dude was purely dominant, and he is a mastercraft at his position. And we all need to pray and thank God every single day that we have number 12 as a Green Bay Packer. And with that, Brian Fonfara, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, John, you said it. Like, this season was a success, especially given where we were halfway through it. It was a devastating performance on Sunday, but at the risk of you guys hating me more, it was a lot easier of a pill to swallow for me since I was in Aruba. It was really easy to get over.
Aruba.
Did I ever mention that I went to Aruba
Jamaica.
This weekend?
Oh, I want to date you.
Brian,
I think I want to date you. I think I want to date you now.
Let's date all the way to Kokomo.
Let's go to Kokomo and date. Let's date in Kokomo.
Who cares if it's not a real place?
It's in Indiana. It's in Indiana.
Can I say that?
You can. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Dusty,
hey.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, man. Hey. You know, I broke out the fancy bourbon for tonight, special occasion. The Packer season, sadly done. But yeah, like Brian, I mean, it's kind of heartbreaking. Those blowout losses are always a little easier to take than the close ones. I was very easily able to go back and look at what Rodgers had done. Like you said, some of the throws he's made, some of just the insane moments he gave us through that running the table. I was looking through a lot of those plays today and found the one, like the one to Davante Adams in the back of the end zone against the Eagles, which kicked off the winning streak that just like just went through a receiver, basically.
My
just
gosh.
Bonkers, man. Like, just some insane throws, that diving throw to the sideline to Cobb against the Cowboys. Like, it's never easy to lose a game like that, but man, it's, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm excited to be here with you guys. It was a fun ride while it lasted, for sure.
Like, let me ask that question right now. Like, Rodgers had two throws like that this season. There was the one to Davante against the Eagles, and then he had the one to Richard Rodgers against the Cowboys.
Yeah, over, you know, Sean Lee,
depending. And it's like, is he actually like that accurate that he can just make that work? Like,
yes.
Yes. And that is the answer. That's the answer. It blows our minds what this guy
can
do.
The Lee one, I think, was a bit of luck. The Eagles one was just, I mean, we've seen him just
perfect
throw balls right by guys' ear holes, like on a regular sure. basis. The Eagles one was pure skill. Like, the Cowboys one, he had a free play, he's chucking it up there. That was kind of luck. But man, still, those plays were both insane. Like, it's ridiculous. He's given us a lot of plays just in like the past 8 games that were just bonkers.
And
great.
On both of those plays, I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying that those were horrible throws. I'm like, look, maybe the Eagles one was a little bit ill-advised, and it could have been picked, but to call it horrible, that ball was on a dime. And then the Sean Lee one, I'm like, that was a free play.
It's a free play that you just wanted to make a play on. Yeah.
Oh, people. Yeah. People are the worst.
People are terrible. I have also noticed this.
Both those throws were Dilfer dimes, guys. Let's be honest about that, okay?
Don't I for told sure, you, John, don't ever bring that name up on this podcast. You've been warned. We've talked about this.
Can at least talk about Joey Harrington to make Dusty happy.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Let's do it, man. That's an off-season Dusty, podcast right there.
Dusty, we try to bring up elite. We try to bring up elite quarterbacks as much as possible. So, I mean, we get so.
That's Joey Harrington, Tim Couch. I mean, you know how I do.
Bronco, just I was talking about Dilfer, but I mean, yeah, if you guys want to talk about those guys.
and guys, that voice you just heard is the guy that we never want to announce on the show, and his name is Jordan Peck. And Jordan,
you never want to.
For the love of all that is good, how are you freaking doing?
You
tonight?
Never want to announce it, but you always have to.
I
have to.
It's like going to the dentist.
I hate contract obligations. I hate contract obligations.
Talking to and about Jordan is like going to the dentist.
Well, I mean, I was.
It's a life necessity.
I was doing well, but now I'm not doing so well. Thanks, guys.
Anytime, buddy.
That is a lie. You are always one thing I know about Jordan is that he is always doing well.
This is true. This is true.
And it is. And that's why we love you, and that's why you're such a key part of the show. So, Jordan, thank you for showing up tonight. Why don't you go ahead and I'm going to hand over my reins of the coin toss, but before I do that, I'm going to tell you guys about something very, very special, an opportunity that you guys can do, okay? And that is, you need to, not you have the option to, but you need to, subscribe to our podcast in iTunes and in Stitcher. You can find it on our website, but it makes it a lot easier if you go to iTunes or Stitcher, search out Pack to the Future Podcast, subscribe to our channel on there, and while you're there, I am just asking a small favor that maybe you guys go ahead and rate us and give us an honest rating, a 5. And just take a little bit of time to rate us, and we would really, really appreciate that. And with that, I'm gonna hand the reins over to Jordan, and Jordan is going to take the coin toss segment away from me. Go ahead, Jordan.
Thank you, John. It's an honor to finally be at the reins and be the judge of you guys and your knowledge of football issues. I'm honored. All right.
Ugh.
Dusty and John, you both won the coin toss. Congratulations.
All right.
I'm just gonna sit back and listen now. There's no point
in
me saying
thank my mama and Elvis.
Jordan,
thank you,
doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good?
It's a lot of power, and it does feel good. All right.
It's the most power that Jordan has ever been able to use before.
All right. All right. First coin toss, guys. Let's get serious here. This is between Dusty and John. The question is, do you think Aaron Rodgers' comments that he made in his end-of-season press conference, talking about going all in the future, or this upcoming season, are they a reflection of the front office, or is he trying to send a message to the front office? So, Dusty, I'm going to flip this coin. If it's heads, you're going to tell me that it's a reflection of the front office. If it's tails, you're going to say he's trying to send a message. It is tails. Dusty, Aaron Rodgers is trying to send a message.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he's trying to send a message. Well, I think his actual comments, someone asked him if the Packers need to rebuild, which, first of all, is a ridiculous question to ask because they just made the NFC Championship game. And Rodgers' response was, we don't need to rebuild, we need to reload. And I mean, that's, you know, there's only one way to take that. You don't really refer to drafting as reloading. And so I don't think they had any time to talk about this. I don't think this was any kind of conferring with the front office. I think this was Roger saying, we need to reload. We saw what a difference Jared Cook made this year when he was healthy. That was just like a free agent signing that at the time I know I was against and a handful of people were against. They are so close. I think Roger sees, 33, 34 now?
I think that's right.
I think he sees he doesn't have a whole lot of he's got a lot of great football in front of him, but his prime is closing. That window to win a Super Bowl with the talent they have, and just with him playing at the level he's playing, which he has to do to get the Packers where they need to be, I think he sees that window closing, and that can't be done in the draft. So I think this is a message, basically telling the front office, we need to sign some impact free agents. Again, you saw Cook. I mean, there's guys out there they can sign. And I think Roger sees that, and he also sees what they had to do just to get to the playoffs this year. I don't think there's anything having to do with the front office thing. That this was Roger saying, listen, guys, you need to help me out. I think that's it. I really think that's it.
All right. John, is Aaron Rodgers just reflecting what the front office is already thinking?
I mean, it is very, very hard for me to argue the points that Dusty just made. I think that, you know, it's possible that Rodgers is making a cry for help to the front office. But in my defense, I do think he was just making, you know, he was just reflecting on where the season has taken him. And, you know, the front office, you could argue that they did their part in signing Jared Cook and just kind of giving him another weapon. I mean, you can't bank on Richard Rodgers, you know, being a tight end that's going to perform week in and week out. And you know, the front office gave Rodgers Jared Cook, and he's got several weapons. I mean, you look at Randall Cobb, you look at Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams, even like a youngster like Trevor Davis, like what we saw from him was very, very good. And I mean, he could just be in the moment and saying something. If anything, I know Dusty kind of stuck to the offensive side. If anything, he's making a cry for help on the defensive side of the ball with our secondary, being as lousy as it is. But, I really just want to say that he was just kind of reflecting on where the season took him.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's a tough thing to argue. And I think the reason it is we're all kind of have that bias. That the team obviously needs to improve in certain aspects. I don't think he's making the call for offensive help as much. I think we're probably okay in that regard. So because of that, I'm going to give it to Dusty. I think he did a little bit better job arguing the point, but it is a tough argument to make. I mean, we've all seen you know, the needs that particularly on the defensive end. I have a feeling that's probably what Rodgers is talking about. Rodgers wants to win a ring. He wants our team to get better. We need to get to the Super Bowl. So I think he is trying to send a message. So Dusty, I'm going to give you the point there. That was good though. That was good from you guys.
Thank you for acknowledging the fact that it was tough for me to argue.
You're welcome,
Jordan.
Yeah, but you're right, John. I mean, he does have weapons, and there are a lot of defensive free agents. I do think I kind of have a tendency to think reload on offense, but yeah, I mean, your defense is a way bigger priority, and there are guys there. You can load up on defense a little bit in this free agency. So I don't know. I hope they do.
We have money to be spent. Money to be spent.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. We are on to the second coin toss question. This is going to be between Brian and Dusty. Fonfara versus Evely. All right. Guys, just today, there was an NFL.com article by Chris Wesselin that talked about the Packers potentially being aggressive in free agency. So the question for you guys is, will the Packers keep doing what they've been doing in recent off seasons, or will they actually make a splash and go get that big name this off season? So, Brian, if it is heads,
sir,
if it is heads, you're going to argue that the Packers keep doing what they're doing, and if it's tails, you're going to say that they are going to make a splash this off season. And it is tails again. So, Brian, you believe that the Packers are going to make a splash in free agency this off season?
Oh boy. Let me start off by pointing out, for John's sake, that Jordan just effortlessly pulled off pronouncing Evely, which is
actually a really easy
last name to pronounce, but John has crazy struggles with, and nobody really understands why.
Didn't even think twice about it. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh boy. All right. So the Packers are going to make a splash. I'm going to believe this for two reasons. One, there's a lot of quotes from Ian Rapoport in there. I trust Ian Rapoport. He doesn't get everything right, but I think he's got a lot of really good sources. I respect the guy. I think he's really good at what he does, and I think he's got the story right more often than not. So I'm going to go ahead and trust his sources. The other thing is, they really don't have a choice. Like it was mentioned earlier, Ted Thompson is nearing 70 years old. Aaron Rodgers is nearing his mid-30s. Dom Capers is about to turn 174 next week. They have to go all in here. They don't have a choice. So yeah, that's the reason I'm going to believe that they'll make a splash. It's because the alternative is another playoff win or two next year, falling short of another Super Bowl, and them having to answer all these awkward questions again. And, you know, maybe that splash will work, maybe it won't, but at least then you can say they really gave it their all for this year. And you can't really say that for all of the last 5 years. So, yes, I think they're going to make a splash. They are going to go all in.
Brian, are you saying that we're going to have a special Dom Capers birthday podcast next week?
Oh, we'll have a special Dom birthday podcast next week. It'll be special, all right.
All right. Dusty, you have the other side of this. You are arguing that the Packers are going to keep doing what they have been doing in recent off seasons.
Man, so I'm looking at the free agent list right now, and I'm kind of going up against Packers' needs. So, listen, we need a pass rusher, right? We got Calais Campbell. You got Chandler Jones, undrafted free agent. You need some help in the secondary. We got A.J. Bouye, who had a dynamite season out of Houston, undrafted free agent. So we got Kawan Short. You've got Justin Durant, inside linebacker. You've got a whole lot of people that could help us. And I'm looking at this list, and when I was making it, I just got sad because I know we're not going to sign any of those people. Just not a single one. Because
we're signing A.J. Bouye.
I mean, I'd be happy with that, but like, it's not going to happen. Like, it's the same thing that happens every year. You know, the big sighting of Ted Thompson this year. I don't know if you guys saw this just like a couple days ago. He's at the Senior Bowl. He lives for that. Like, he's going to sign some undrafted free agent out of like Northern Delaware State Technical College or something. He's going to be super, super excited about it.
They had a great season this year.
Man, just 7-5, like, that's just great for them. Like, it's the same thing every year, and that's part of what being a Packers fan with Ted Thompson is. Like, that you know what you're going to get. You can get your hopes up, you can look at the guys that they have in free agency, you can look and say, oh, these guys are going to plug these holes, and even if it's not the big name guys, I don't really love spending big money on big name free agents, because that can often backfire. But like, you just look at the list and some of these guys, you're like, you know what, they get that guy for 1 or 2 year deal, maybe low money, bolster depth. You get a guy in there. I mean, we've talked a lot of people talked a lot about Capers and his scheme. You just kind of need veterans, you need guys who have seen a lot, you need guys that can kind of fall into what he does. And so you think this one guy could make a difference, man. Just this one guy. I think Terrence Newman is an undrafted free agent this year. I'm not a huge fan of his, but he could fit really, really well as like the veteran in a Dom Capers defense. And it's like, I'm kind of done getting worked up over it because like maybe once every 3 years, they're going to sign a guy that's a splashy guy, but like they're not going to do that. They're not going to change who they are. They're not going to, Ted Thompson's not suddenly going to go out there and sign like three big name free agents and make a big splash. That's not who they are. That's not who he is. That's not historically who they think he's going to be. So we can look at this. Maybe he'll sign a guy. I kind of doubt it. Like it's going to be just business as usual, man. We're going to grab some draft picks. We're going to hope they work out. Rodgers is going to take us to the playoffs and then we're going to lose because we don't have depth or we don't have veteran leaders. I mean, it's the same thing every year and part of me loves it and part of me hates it, but there's nothing to suggest that this year is going to be the year where it's going to turn around.
All right. That was really good. This is a tough decision for me. I tend to agree. I think both of you would probably agree that we're not going out and getting three of these dudes, but
no.
I think always back to the Julius Peppers signing and how surprised I was when that happened. I believe that happened right after the 2013-2014 season, which would have been the year after we went 8-7-1, and that was when Rodgers was hurt. So, I mean, you talk about a season where you could have just blamed everything on Rodgers being out, and they still went and got Julius Peppers. So I tend to think this would be a year that he'd actually go make a splash. I tend to agree with Brian here. I'm gonna give the point to Brian. Very well argued points. I could see either situation happening, obviously. But I do think this is the year they actually do something. I think they're gonna let some guys go. I think they're gonna add a free agent. I agree with Brian. So that was good though. That was fantastic, guys. All right.
Thank you.
Last one and easily the least important one. Before the podcast, everybody listening, we were kind of just going through what we were going to be talking about for the coin toss, and we got into a, I shouldn't say we, it was more John and company that got into a heated discussion about who they'd rather have on the team, Antonio Brown or Jordy Nelson. And John, I'm going to let you take this away. You have very strong beliefs on this. So I'm going to let you take this, John. I'm going to let you start. Why do you want Jordy Nelson more than Antonio Brown?
I am very, very, very heated right now about this. Okay,
so hot.
Let me start off by saying this. Number one, Jordy Nelson is tried and true, thoroughbred, a Green Bay Packer, all right? The way that he walks, the way that he talks, oh, what he does in the off season makes him a Green Bay Packer. Not only does he shine on the field as a contributor, as a leader, and as a teammate, he is what personifies what makes a Green Bay Packer. Now look at Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown gives two craps about what Mike Tomlin, his head coach, is saying in the locker room. He just wants to look pretty in front of his cell phone and Facebook Live to all of his crew out there being like, bam, look at me, look at me, look at me. We just won in Kansas City. Big whoop. All right. That type of personality does not belong on the Green Bay Packers. The Packers have had zero flamboyant Packers in their history. Name one Packer that just goes out and talks a ton of crap to the media. Name one player that like just does very questionable off-field activities. You don't
Max
find
McGee,
that.
Brett Favre.
Oh.
Andre Rison.
Is it my turn yet?
Stop naming people. Stop naming people.
Is it
people.
My turn yet?
Stop naming people.
You told
okay?
me to name names.
Brett Favre. Brett Favre stood in front of a podium, okay? He stood in front of a podium, on a podium, in front of many, many people, all right? And announced his addiction to something. Name a player in the NFL that would be like, all right, I'm addicted to marijuana. Here I am. I'm gonna take a year off and figure this out. No one would do that. Brett Favre is a Green Bay Packer. Jordy Nelson is a Green Bay Packer.
Ravens?
Brian, take it away.
It's finally my
turn.
Take it away. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that may have seemed like the ramblings of a lunatic, but do not adjust your radio dial. It only sounded that way because it was the ramblings of a lunatic. I mean, John, we could go on
and
on. Javon Walker. Javon Walker. Mike McKenzie.
Gone. Not a Packer.
Yeah, but they were. You said none in their history. I mean, they're not even in the NFL anymore.
Guess what? We didn't want to pay for that attitude.
It's my turn.
It's got hot. I feel like Stephen A. Smith hot. Right now. No. I feel like Stephen A. Smith
Yeah,
right
you
now.
Should, because you're talking a whole lot of crap, and none of it makes any sense. That's why you feel like Stephen
all,
A. Smith.
It makes
first
all
of
sense.
All, first of all, I don't give two craps about a Facebook Live video. I really don't. Man, Antonio Brown with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback in a Mike McCarthy offense where he loves to throw a deep ball, he would probably get 2,000 yards receiving and 15 touchdowns. It'd be like Randy Moss playing with Tom Brady that year. Okay, that would just cement this as the league's best offense possibly ever. And we'd go back to like the 2011 season where Rodgers was just throwing up numbers for fun and nobody could stop him no matter what he wanted to do. Okay, now let's talk Packer people. Packer people is a myth. They just had to cut a guy because he had too many suspensions for substance abuse and things like that. You know, let's talk about LaTroy Guyon, who had a court appearance for domestic violence, okay? Packer people is a myth, okay? If the Steelers came calling and said, give us Jordy Nelson and we'll give you Antonio Brown, you take that to the bank and you laugh the entire way there. I would trade our entire wide receiver core to get Antonio Brown and just start over behind him, and I wouldn't even bat an eye.
Ooh.
What if they're the same age? What if they're the same age?
They're not, though.
What if they were?
I don't know what he's going to be like at Jordy. So if we go back to when Jordy was that age, I still take Antonio Brown.
Jordy Nelson is a farmer.
Okay, nope, you win. There you go. He's a farmer. Jeez.
He has a cereal. He has farm. John, John
Jordan, can John, you just call me
point.
The winner here so we can move
John,
on?
John does bring up a good
point.
Does Antonio
Jordy
Brown
Nelson
go back to his family
farmer.
Farm? He doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
That's a good point.
No.
I like Antonio
Jordy,
Brown because he's probably
win.
Never been on a farm.
Give me that win and sleep easy
I will
tonight.
Sleep easy no matter what. And I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give the win to Brian. I do find it interesting. You would trade the entire receiving core and just have Antonio Brown and a bunch of scrubs.
How could someone so out of their mind win that coin toss and say something so ridiculous about trading
John,
the whole
okay?
receiving core?
John, is everything
John
okay
John is drinking
home?
A 16-ounce
okay?
beer that is 11.3% alcohol by volume. That is
He's
where all these ramblings came from.
No, but I really...
Let's just be clear.
All right, that's not all true.
I want to address...
that's not all true.
It's completely
true. I want to address the comment, Brian. You would trade Jordan... You would have Antonio Brown and a bunch of scrubs, and you would trade the entire receiving core for him.
I would probably trade our entire receiving core for
probably.
Him.
Probably. That's interesting. That's interesting.
I would do it. You can sign
would,
a couple other
I would
like
to like address
random free agents. I mean, that receiving core there is him and a bunch of average guys. Yeah. You can get a few average guys, a couple mid-round draft picks where Ted
They've
finds
got
his
some
guys.
Good receivers in Pittsburgh. I'm not ready to say the Pittsburgh receivers are scrubs. They got
I
some
didn't say scrubs.
There.
I said
no,
average.
I'm just saying, like, fill them with – I'm not. Unless you were talking about trading them for the Pittsburgh receiving core. I was just talking about, like, filling them with undrafted free agents, but –
No, not undrafted. Like you go through the rest of the offseason in a normal way. You spend a day two pick on a wide receiver. You sign a couple free agents and then a couple of undrafted free agents. I think you could fill in and improve the receiving core.
Also, listen, guys, if we're going to go through this thought experiment, you know who an undrafted free agent wide receiver is? Or not undrafted, unrestricted free agent is this year?
Who's that?
Friggin' Terrell Pryor. Like, I would take Antonio Brown and Terrell Pryor to start that off. Like, I'd be very excited about that.
There you go.
Would we take Terrell Pryor over any of our actually contributing receivers right now?
Oh, absolutely not. No. But I think he'd compliment Brown well.
Yeah. I wouldn't take him over, definitely not over Jordy, not over Adams.
Not over Cobb. I wouldn't take him.
Not over Cobb. That wouldn't be the closest, but not over Cobb.
Yeah, I'd
He'd if we were to sign him right now, he'd be our fourth receiver.
We have a receiver that can only run fly routes in Jeff Janis.
That's true.
The value in a Terrell Pryor though is that we have a receiver and we have a third string quarterback all in once. All
We've already got that with Randall Cobb.
There you go.
Cobb played quarterback for a year at Kentucky.
Callahan.
Are we really going to argue about who the better college quarterback was between Randall Cobb and Terrell Pryor? I don't know. No.
I will.
No.
I mean,
next week's coin toss.
I mean, what I want to argue is Jordan's ability to judge these coin tosses. It's pretty ridiculous.
Is it rigged, John? Is it rigged?
Because I thought Dusty...
I'm going to use my two seconds of FaceTime this week to tell John to shut up.
Actually, Dusty won both of them.
I thought
so.
Dusty won that coin toss against Brian the last coin toss. I don't see Ted Thompson making any moves this offseason. With the names that Dusty laid out there, which are no.
Let me ask you this.
Well, too bad you weren't the judge.
Let me ask you this, guys. Though, is I mean, who saw the Peppers signing coming? That came out of nowhere.
No, that's true.
That came out of nowhere. Accurate. So for him to go out and get one of these dudes would not shock me. It would be out of the norm, right, but
Jordan,
it shouldn't be shocking.
Here's what we got to say. What would constitute a splash? Because that's what the question was. Are they going to make a splash? Now, going out and signing a couple Jared Cook quality players is not going out and making a splash. Going out and getting, for example, Stephon Gilmore to come in and be our number one cornerback, that would be a splash. Yeah. So,
but see, like, if you signed Chandler Jones and AJ Bouye, like, that's a splash.
The two of them together
could
be a splash.
Does anyone see that happening?
The Bills.
Yeah.
No, who's the Rams? Who's the Rams dude that's a free agent?
Is Jenkins? Is Jenkins?
No, Jenkins was a free agent last year.
Oh, he's with Miami.
No.
Yeah.
Jenkins. Sorry, dude. I wish I had a name.
I feel like,
the dude for the Rams is like, I think Pro Football Focus rated him like the eighth best cornerback in the league or something like that. I could be fudging numbers right there, but the dude is a top.
Well, just to,
seriously though, like he is a top cornerback and he's a free agent.
Tremaine Johnson,
that's the one. Tremaine Johnson, that's the one. Yeah, I'd love to have him here.
We'll
cover this more definitely when we get closer to free agency opening, and we'll do a special waste of an hour free agency special of Pack to the Future.
Let's not. It won't be a waste once Ted goes all in. He's going all in.
He's going to sign 15 free agents.
He's cutting everybody.
Yeah. It pains me to say that Brian has won the overall evening for coin tosses. But what it does not pain me
Dusty
to
went,
say
Dusty
is that there is...
No, you called me the winner of the second one.
Yeah, Dusty lost the second
one,
Jordan.
You named
me
champion.
I was just plugging the sponsor, guys.
I won't take it back.
Holy cow. Guys, there is a phenomenal sponsor that sponsored us every single week that us idiots have decided to podcast, okay? Thank goodness. Thank goodness for Pride and Glory Clothing for sponsoring us idiots to do this every week. Jordan, what kind of products do they have now?
What kind of products do they have? It's a lot of the same stuff we've been talking about all season, guys. This is the time after we lose a horrible playoff game, we get blown out of the water. You know, it'd be like, oh, maybe I'm going to take off my Packer jersey, take off my Packer hat. No. This is not the time for that. This is the time to show your true colors, show that you are a diehard Packer fan through thick and thin. So check out Pride and Glory Clothing Company. Great t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, wristbands. They got everything we need, especially for these summer months, going into the off season. So check out prideandglory63.com. That's prideandglory63.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, because unfortunately there is no Packer game to be had this week or the next, we will be doing a special, call it what you will. It's just a question for our three intellects that we've had year in, year out, Brian, Dusty, Jordan, and they're going to discuss this question right here. The defense has seemed to just fail the Packers year in, year out. This year, especially with the secondary just falling apart. And I want to know from you guys, I'm going to start this off with Brian, whether you think this is because of a Dom Capers run defense or personnel that Ted Thompson has drafted. Go ahead, Brian.
All right, look, I sat down, and as we're recording this, it's Thursday night, after reading the comments and listening to the comments that Mike McCarthy made in his season-ending press conference, I got pretty worked up about, you know, I'm not asking for both guys to be fired, but, you know, there was no doubt about Ted coming back, and there's, you know, strongly hinted that Dom Capers is coming back, so I got a little worked up, and I started to write. I started to write an article about Dom Capers failing, right? And I thought, you know what? A lot of this really can be put on Ted. And every time I mention Dom Capers on Twitter, somebody comes out and says, well, what about Ted Thompson? He deserves a lot of blame here. And what I realized while I was writing that article is that these two together, it just feels like a match made in hell. They have two completely different philosophies, right? So Ted Thompson believes, A, draft and develop, draft and develop, draft and develop. And that's fine. That's a perfectly fine philosophy to have. And he also believes that you have your franchise quarterback, you do what you can to put a good offense around him because that's your strength. And that's also fine. But where it becomes not fine is when you have a defensive coordinator like Dom Capers. He relies on veteran influence. He relies on smart players that have been around the block that can run his complex schemes. And he does not have that right now. And again, when you have a GM that believes in building defense, Dom Capers can be a fit. But these two just have completely different views on how to build a football team. And it's just, it's made for moments like this where they're not on the same page. They don't, you know, Dom doesn't have the players that he needs, but he's also not getting the most out of these players. And I wrote down some stats that really stood out to me. So I'm going to do my best Dusty impression here. Yay. This is going to be ugly.
Be more handsome. Be more handsome when you say
okay.
It.
Okay. I really can't. I'm sorry. Okay. So looking at the regular season, right, I was actually really surprised by this. The Packers were tied for sixth in sacks. They were tied for the sixth most sacks on defense. Now, where that's a little misleading is there was no real pressure in between those sacks. You know, they would go four straight drives with no pressure on a quarterback, and then one drive where they had three sacks in the same drive. Things like that happen all the time, so a little misleading. But then I also saw they are tied for fourth in interceptions. So what I'm seeing is that there is some talent on this defense, and it showed in stats like that. And where I see a lot of scheme issues, these two here, 29th in points allowed, and 31st in total tackles for the defense. Those are really bad. That's bad. Like, that shows you can't tackle. That shows guys are getting wide open. And that shows you can't keep people from getting into the end zone. That's just a lot of really bad scheming. Okay? So yeah, there was a lack of talent to a degree. But also, we had some playmakers. And we couldn't find ways to get them to make plays consistently. Then there's the postseason, where they were really bad. They're dead last in yards allowed per game. They're third last on third down percentage allowed. The second most penalty yards against a defense goes to the Green Bay Packers. The most points allowed by far at this point. They allowed 88 points in those three games. The next worst was 64. And the only teams that had a higher points per game allowed were the teams that were knocked out in their first game and just allowed a whole bunch of points in those one. So three games where you're allowing a whole lot of points. It's just, it's like that year after year. And it hasn't really mattered who's in there. So you can only put so much on Ted. And man, Dom is not making the best out of what he's got. He's shown that he's not capable of putting together a scheme that young players can handle. So if I, biggest issue, I think, is these two being a terrible match for each other. But if I have to pick one, I'm putting it more on Dom Capers than I am Ted Thompson.
Dusty?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same camp. I mean, to me, with Capers stuff, I was kind of looking at what he's done throughout his career as a defensive coordinator. And I mean, it's kind of cyclical, but it's also kind of tied to the players you have. And like Brian said, you need... His scheme needs guys that know what they're doing, need guys who have seen certain things, need guys who can follow a game plan to the letter. And I mean, part of the problem with Capers, you know, whether it's just, we were kind of joking before the show a little bit, but I think it's true. I mean, he's an older guy. He's been around a little bit. I think he's kind of at a point where he feels like he doesn't need to cater his scheme to the people, to the players. Yes, he just expects them to run it. That's kind of an issue when like Brian said, you're going off Ted Thompson, who does not necessarily believe in free agent signings. I mean, the best defensive season we had under Capers, he had Charles Woodson there. Like, and Charles Woodson guys don't grow on trees. Like, and he was a perfect fit for that defense.
Ryan
and you
Pickett,
had
Colin Jenkins.
I was going to say he had some veterans on that team. He had some young guys, but he also had some veterans. And so that's kind of what it's going to take, I think, for Capers to do this, is whether free agents or just guys in a system for a while. I mean, you look at after 2010, when they had, as just according to yards, I went with yards. In 2009, 2010, the Packers were fifth in the league with yards against. And in 2011, they jumped to 32nd, worst in the league. And some of the guys they had on that team, I mean, they had Pickett, which was good. You had Raji in his second year. You had Matthews in the second year. You had Woodson. You had Hawk in his fifth. You had Teron Williams. You had Charlie Pepper. You had Burnett as a rookie. It's like you had some guys that had been there for a little bit, but you also had some guys that had only been in there, like, say, a year or two. In 2012, they actually went down to 11th. So they jumped from 32nd to 11th in the league. And I mean, that was just, you just had guys in the system another year. You had Raji in there another year. You had Walden was still there. Matthews was there another year. Hawk was there another year. Like, you had these guys who had, for lack of a better term, kind of grown up in the Capers defense. And just kind of, after some of those veterans left, it just kind of took them a little bit to kind of become the guys there, to kind of pick it up to where they could run it. Woodson was gone by 2012, but you had these guys that had been there for a couple years. And that's kind of what I'm hoping is happening this next year. So this past year, they were 31st in the league in yards against, which is bad. I mean, you can get worse than that, but only by like one spot. But again, in 2011, they jumped from 32nd to 11th and in 2012. So you've got guys in the league that are just going to be in there another year. Like, you've got Daniels, who we know is a monster. You've got Guyon, who's been with the team for a few years. But then the secondary, you've got Jake Ryan took a huge step forward this year. Joe Thomas took a huge step forward this year. I think we're going to see that with Blake Martinez next year. You're going to see that with, Clinton Dix was his third season? Was a monster this year. Like, you've got guys who have now kind of grown up in the Caper system where I think there maybe is some hope for next year, but it is an issue with these guys because as long as Capers and Thompson are tied together, you're always going to kind of rely on every 3 to 4 years, these young guys hope they're getting up to speed, and they're not going to do that. So, I mean, you're with this, you have to supplement. If you're draft and develop, you have to at least supplement with some free agents, and they've shown they're not going to do that, which means Capers is always going to have a defense that is always, like, for every third or fourth year, just god awful because he's not going to have the pieces there that have just been there long enough. Like, it's a problem, and it's always going to be a problem. I have my issues with Ted Thompson, but he has talent there. I mean, I've seen, like, you know, Demarius Randall is not great in zone, but he's one of their best man corners they've had in a very, very long time. Rollins has got some talent. Gunter showed he can do some stuff. Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett, like, one of the best safety combos we've had in forever. Daniels is a monster. I talked about Jake Ryan and Joe Thomas. Like, the talent is there, and it's on Capers to make it work. So, I mean, Thompson, say what you will about Thompson, he brings in guys, and he's been spending some picks on the defensive side. At this point, it's on Capers to make it work, and, I mean, hopefully this next season we're going to see it work, but man, I mean, it's with these two guys, with how they work together, it's not good. Like, we're always going to have these lapses, so there needs to be a fix in there. I think this next year we're going to see it, but there's always going to be, every third year is going to be awful. So I put it more on Capers than Thompson for sure. That was a long,
I mean, Dusty,
I apologize.
No, that's fine. Dusty, as the host, I mean, I feel it's my responsibility to give out the award for best intellect of the night, and you won it with the Charlie Pepper name drop.
Jordan hasn't even gone yet. He may have had Pepper lined up. I don't know, man.
He didn't.
But you said it first, and it's just okay. how the cookie crumbles when Jordan just always goes last in everything. So
there's a reason we put him last in everything. It's so that we have to give him the fewest kudos.
But kudos on the Charlie Pepper name drop, and was awesome. And Jordan, who is the blame on your end?
Oh man, hey, this is very, very good stuff from both you guys. I'm not gonna lie, we haven't talked much about this as a group even before this show happened. It was good listening to what you guys had to say. This caused me to think a lot about just the situation in the past few minutes. You guys mentioned particularly about the age of these guys and kind of like the stuck in their ways mentality. I mean, you have Capers, who I think is 66. Ted Thompson is 64. When you think about the GMs that are successful in this league, most of them aren't in that age bracket. Defensive coordinator is not as much the case. You think of some of the really like legendary ones. They, you know, they can get into their old age and still be effective. With the guys that he's had, you talk about the talent that we have with Capers and the way he's coaching. Mostly I got to put it on him, especially with the past few seasons, the way that it's gone. I mean, you talk about some guys that we have. Now, you mentioned, particularly this last season, Dusty, about Demaryius Randall and Jake Ryan and these guys that have shown that they have talent. And I don't disagree, but everybody to a point shows that they have some bit of talent. It's whether it's sustainable. Even Jake Ryan, I mean, he played better than he did his rookie season. Is that going to be sustained? We have no idea. And that's a thing. You look back at even a few years ago with some of the players that we had, and you're like, oh, you know, this defense, you know, we're close. Even the year we went 12-4, went all the way to the NFC Championship and blew the lead against the Seahawks. We had a good enough defense to win a Super Bowl that year. This year we didn't. And you got to wonder how that's the case. for McCarthy in his press conference to go ahead and talk about injuries and injuries being the issue, I think is a cheap cop out.
Totally,
it's a cop out. I mean, you look at the starting 11 week one. I believe only one of those guys was out for this NFC Championship game, and that was Shields. Now, I'm not discounting the importance of Shields to our secondary. Obviously, that's a big loss. But we had 10 of 11 guys, a couple of guys that we're spending a lot of money on. And you got to get more out of these dudes. I mean, you just have to. So, and really, when I say that, I'm preaching more to Capers, truthfully. I mean, this guy's been around so long. You got to figure a guy can do more with the defense that he has. These are high draft picks. I mean, Ted's shown the focus on defense in the past few drafts. I can't even remember the last offensive first rounder he's taken.
I think it's been 5 or 6 years now.
Derek Sherrod, if you want a name drop.
And that one, here's your name. That one, you can't even put that draft pick really on Ted. I mean, that was injury driven. Yeah. I mean, you can't foresee that kind of stuff coming. Derek Sherrod could have been a fantastic right tackle for us. Who knows? We have no idea. That's. Stuff like that happens, and you can't blame a GM for that. That's just unfortunate.
Wrong.
So obviously Ted knows that the focus should be on defense, and the fact that he has been unwilling to make a change at the coordinator position is mind-boggling to me. So I don't know who's more to blame. It comes down to more. But if I'm a fan looking at this, which I am a fan looking at this. If I'm going to make a change first, you make a change at the coordinator position first. You bring in a new guy and you see what you can do with these guys. You got guys like Demaryius Randall, who you got to believe he was better his rookie season than this year. Maybe injuries were an issue. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes he just looked lost. So I don't know. I really don't know when it comes to a guy like him. But you got to make a change at the coordinator position first. If it doesn't work, then you move to the GM. I don't think in this position that Thompson should be fired before Dom. I think Capers got to go before Dom. It doesn't sound like he will this season. Maybe it all changes next season. I'm not optimistic about it, but again, we have 12, so I'm always optimistic. But
I'm gonna say something that might be a little bold, might be a little bit of a hot take, but I firmly believe that if we had Wade Phillips as our defensive coordinator, who we should have hired a few years back instead of keeping Dom, or even Jim Schwartz as our defensive coordinator, who we should have hired and let Dom go, I'd have taken either one of those. If we have either one of those guys at defensive coordinator, I firmly believe that right now we're not talking about bringing in new guys. We're talking about how we're going to play against the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
I don't...
I feel very strongly about this.
And to go along with that, though, I mean, that was the situation a couple years ago when you had a guy like Phillips that was available to hire. This year, you can't name that guy. You'd have
Rex Ryan. Mike Nolan.
Mike Nolan's really coming back,
Two guys have been named. Okay, I'm not talking about ahead of capers. That's fine. I can believe that. Would you? This isn't the same situation though as when a Wade Phillips is available, or do you think it is?
Well, technically, Wade Phillips was available, but we made it too far in the playoffs to hire him. The Rams hired him away because he left, so he got hired away by the Rams, but. But we missed out on it because we're still playing. I mean,
a big personality like Rex Ryan that would give these young players a whole lot of swagger, and you know, they would hit harder, they would run harder. I think he would.
But even then, I mean, to Jordan's point on that, I mean, that's like Rex Ryan would be kind of awesome, but he's lost a little bit of his shine over the past few years. His scheme seems to be kind of figured out.
His defense has still been very good.
They haven't. They've been bad. They've been real bad. And you can put some of that on Rob. You can put some of that on his brother. But at the same time, there's a belief in the league that the scheme's been figured out. Now, whether or not you can say that it's because he's a head coach and he wasn't able to focus on the defense, so you put him on the defensive side and he's able to readjust, like, that's fine. But like Jordan's saying, like, Wade Phillips was an obvious candidate. Rex Ryan, right now, not an obvious candidate. I mean, there are guys out there. There's not the guy that Wade Phillips was for us.
Knowing Ted Thompson, though, there's probably some linebackers coach or secondary coach in Houston or Pittsburgh or something like that that could totally step in right now and be like that next up and comer defensive coordinator.
If we're being real, if we're gonna keep it 100, like the kids say, if Capers is gone, there's a 99% chance that Joe Witt is the defensive coordinator. That seems like what
that
would
doesn't make any sense at all, though. I hear you, and you're right.
Dom Capers. That also does not.
It
make
doesn't.
Any sense.
It doesn't, and it's infuriating because if you haven't read the article that I mentioned earlier, it's all about how there's a complete lack of accountability for what's going on. This is 5 years of underachieving defense, and defense completely letting us down come playoff time every single year. I mean. So one stat was mentioned how 3 times in the playoffs alone, Dom Capers' defenses have allowed 44 points or more. And that regular season, postseason, that's never happened to the Patriots with Tom Brady in charge. But in those games, the Packers have scored 21 points. That should be enough to at least make it a close game in an NFC Championship game, right? In another one, they allowed 45. They scored 31. If you score 31 in a playoff game, that should be a win. And then, of course, the huge one, allowing 51 points the year before we won the Super Bowl. We scored 45 points in a playoff game and lost, ladies and gentlemen. I don't understand how he gets away with this every year, being the reason, like, not the reason, but a big reason that we're out of the playoffs before a Super Bowl, being Dom Capers. And it's just, it's okay because he's a great coach. Stop telling me he's a great coach and let me see some great coaching.
Technically, the defense only gave up 45 in that Arizona game. That was the fumble, the strip sack. Run back.
Fine, they gave up 45 points then, but we still scored 45 points and
It was all because of that bum quarterback Rodgers fumbling the ball, am I right?
Yeah, it's terrible. Always his fault, right? I mean, 45 points in a playoff game, you lose.
Brett Hundley.
But I mean, guys, as long as we are like on this topic right now, I mean, we're talking about potential, you know, defensive coordinator replacements, but I want to go back to the question that we had before, whether it's a Ted Thompson or a Dom Capers thing. And it kind of brought to my attention where you guys all brought up the same name in Demaryius Randall. And I remember hearing a comment that he made to the press where he feels like he's in the same boat as Davante Adams, where, you know, Davante Adams in his second year dealt with injuries. And then third year, you know, look at where Davante is at. Like, do you guys have that same level of confidence in Demaryius Randall that you do in Davante Adams? Like, have you seen enough from Demaryius Randall to be like, okay, this is a guy that can be a top tier cornerback in the NFL?
Man, I mean, if you're if you're asking me, I loved Marius Randle. Like, I had no faith in Devontae Adams. I've got a ton of faith in Randle. And, like, the thing with cornerbacks, like, rookie cornerbacks traditionally struggle more than just about any other high drafted position. If you start a rookie corner, they're going to be bad. Him and Rollins were both great, and then they weren't good, and it's partially due to injuries. Like, I think they're going to be good. I have way higher confidence in Randle rebounding and having a great year next year than I ever did with Devontae Adams doing what Devontae Adams
Here's my was. Counter to that. Is that Randle and Rollins being cornerbacks, it's on them to go and do their job solely. With Adams, you're kind of you can get put back on track based on the offensive plan and the fact, again, that you have the greatest quarterback in the league throwing him the ball. That is not the case with Randle and Rollins. I'm not as optimistic about that they can come back and rebound. If it is because of injury, then that's fair. And they come back and they're 100% healthy and show more what they did their rookie year. Then great. I'm not as optimistic about that. I really am not. I think for me, secondary, I mean, Brian's talked about this before. He's talked about the need for the front seven and getting pressure. I don't disagree with that, but we need a lockdown corner, in my opinion. And Randle, I don't think, even if Randle improves, he's not locked down. Like, Shields was more locked down.
I think he is.
You think he is?
He is.
See, I disagreed with Jordan until the very end when he said we need a lockdown cornerback. Because here's the thing. It's not just injuries that hampered Devontae Adams. It was not just injuries that hampered Demaryius Randle. It's the fact that they were thrust into positions that they were not ready for. Devontae Adams was not ready to be a number one receiver. He's probably never going to be a number one receiver. But to this year as a number two, he was fantastic. Yes. 3 yards shy of 1,000 yards. And just tons of touchdowns. He was fantastic this year when he didn't have to be the number one guy. When he had to be, he totally failed, okay? But that just shows that it's not a problem. It's just he can't be the number one guy. With Demaryius Randle, I don't see him being, you know, an elite cornerback where you can expect him to go shut down the opponent's number one every week. I don't want to see him up against Dez Bryant or Julio Jones or Antonio Brown. But being that number two guy, or better yet, being the slot guy, I think he has a really bright future ahead of him. We just have to get that number one, that kind of shadow, that lockdown guy, and allow whoever the defensive coordinator is to use Demaryius Randle more to his strengths. Next year, assuming he doesn't have to be that number one guy, he doesn't have to be the guy that the secondary turns to, I see him turning it around and real quick and going back to kind of last year where he could play guys that were more to his current skill level and guys where he could, you know, jump those routes and feel confident about doing that, up those interceptions again. And yeah, I think he can be a really good number two, number three cornerback.
I mean, if we're talking about lockdown in a Dom Capers defense, first of all, that doesn't exist. Like, that's never going to happen. He's never going to have that guy. He's always going to mix it up. You're always going to have a lot of zone. To me, that's why I have a little more faith in Randle is, I know he's got the coverage skills. Jordan mentioned he looks lost. When he looks lost is when he has to fall back in zone. It's like he doesn't know his assignment.
Complex Dom Capers zone. It ruins everything.
You get him another year. You have him another year in that system. He's got the coverage skills. He's got the ball skills. We know that. All he struggles with, the main thing he struggles with, is that zone. You get him healthy next year. It's another year on that defense. I think Randall's going to be really, really good. I think he could excel in, say, like the Joker-type role that Woodson did. He's a really smart guy, very instinctive. But I think he can be a number one corner. And I think one more year in this defense. I think just this past year was a big learning experience. I think he's going to shock a lot of people next year. I have nothing but great things to say about Randle. I think he's going to be very, very good.
That is high praise throwing the Woodson comparison out there.
I'm not saying he's going to be Woodson. I'm saying as far as a guy that has the quickness and some of, like, he's got quickness, he's got intelligence, he's got his instincts are great. He's obviously not Charles Woodson, but if you're going to stick a guy in that role to kind of mix it up,
Charles Woodson though.
Well, and he was drafted. He was a safety. He was drafted to kind of be a hybrid guy. I mean, you can stick him in the box, and I think he'd be dynamite. But I also think he'd be on the outside. Like, he could be. That's kind of what I thought Hyde was going to be this year, and then it didn't quite work out. But I think Randall's got the intelligence and instincts to be a guy you can kind of put anywhere. And maybe I'm a little too high on him, but I think he's gonna shock a lot of people next year.
To stick up for Micah Hyde, he was Charles Woodson in that Dallas game.
He was very good.
He was fantastic in that Dallas game. That was Charles Woodson-esque.
These are words that I never thought that I would ever mention, but I would tend to agree with Jordan as to what he said. I do not see the potential that you guys are seeing in Demarius Randle.
Look harder.
I'll even go a step further in saying that I do not see that in Quentin Rollins. Like I'm seeing two very underachieving cornerbacks. Yes, they've had injuries, but at the same time, when they're out on the field, like they have been absolutely torched from the moment they've been out there.
Go watch the film from last year, though. The talent is there. They just had really bad years. The talent is there.
I remember the Miami Dolphins game vividly, where Demarius Randle had that play on the goal line and got in front of the pass, knocked it down, and it pretty much won the game in Miami for us. And I mean, I see that, and I'm like, I want to believe in a guy like Demarius Randle, but at the same talent time, this year, just like it, I don't know. I'm gonna agree with Jordan on this right now, and I hope and pray that those two guys prove me wrong. And while we're getting into some heated discussions, Jordan, do we have Twitter questions to get as heated about?
All right, let's go to the audience, the fans of our podcast, in particular, Brian Aviles, our friend, our resident Bear fan of the podcast. He has a couple questions for us this week. We've kind of talked about this to a point. In fact, we've just been talking about this. He replied on Twitter saying, "So it seems time to rebuild the defense." Rebuild? Probably not. But anyway, he says, "I want to hear everyone's opinion on what needs to be done and what your strategy is." So maybe we can change this question up, assuming there's no change, which is a pretty safe assumption probably right now, that we have Capers, that we have Thompson. What is the thing we want most for this defense right now?
Veterans. If I'm Ted Thompson, I go out and I sign three free agents, and it's a veteran on each level. It's a veteran defensive lineman, it's a veteran linebacker, whether that be inside or out, and it's a veteran cornerback. Just get some leadership, get guys that can come in and grasp this system and actually run it so that the kids can focus on playing instead of running a defense.
You know, Brian Avila said everyone, so I mean, I guess that includes me, but I guess Brian just put it perfectly, so that I don't even have to say anything. So Brian, I feel like you said everything I wanted to say. So that's it for me.
I think you gotta get talent in spots. I mean, we've talked about the secondary, we talked about the pass rush. Whether that's through free agency or if you think a guy like Dean Lowry or Kyler Fackrell or something is going to come through next year, I think you're going to have to supplement free agency. And again, looking at this list, I mean, he's not going to be cheap, but I mean, Chandler Jones, a guy like Chandler Jones could be huge for this team. AJ Bouye could be huge. Like, they're going to cost money, but you also have guys like Sam Shields, who may never play again, and Clay Matthews, who you could cut. So, I think cutting a couple guys, a couple of the big money guys that aren't going to leave a whole lot of dead money in your cap, grabbing one or two free agents, hoping some of your young guys develop, and then grabbing some guys in the draft. Like, that's again, they've got the talent. They need a couple veterans and maybe a couple pieces. A pass rush would be huge. You can get a couple guys, again, either developed or free agent that can pass rush. That'd be massive. I mean, that's what they need to do. They need to bolster a couple positions. Free agency would be good for that. I'd love to see them use that. I think that's what they're going to need to do.
Yeah, for me, you even mentioned Kyler Fackrell. That was the guy I was going to bring up. Is, you know, he had a pretty ineffective rookie season. I mean, for being a third round pick, you'd expect a little bit more out of a guy from being a third round pick. He's an older player. That was what you drafted him for, was being an edge rusher, was making a pass rush, and he just didn't get on the field a lot, and that's a bit of an issue. If he comes out and plays a lot better this next season, well, then maybe we're not even talking as much about this defense again, because while I would love to see nothing more than a lockdown corner be signed, you know, it does start with a pass rush. If you can make a quarterback uncomfortable back there, that does change everything. When a quarterback can just sit back there, a la Matt Ryan 5 days ago, then it's just it's easy pickings against pretty much any defense. I mean, if you have a good quarterback, regardless of the talent of secondary, I mean, Rodgers could torch a good secondary even with, you know, if there's no pass rush, Rodgers can torch anybody. And Matt Ryan, he's an MVP candidate this year. He's playing fantastic football. If we're playing those guys, and those are the guys we do play in the playoffs, the games that really matter for the Packers, you know, that's what's got to happen. We got to make it tough for these dudes. We didn't really do it with Prescott as much, but it, you know, we still kind of got away with it in a way. But it's something that's obviously got to be addressed. So you talk about pass rush. Hopefully these guys that we drafted, guys like Kenny Clark, who started coming on at certain points in the season, yeah, Kyler Fackrell.
Yep.
You know, guys that we've drafted. I mean, you talk about, again, young guys that are going to be a year older in this system. They need to produce. They need to show they are worthy of the relatively high draft pick that they were given. So it's, yeah, for me, in free agency, go and get a cornerback. That's what I would say, is get somebody to bolster the secondary, a veteran leader in the secondary that's not a safety, because we already have that. It's on the edges. We need veteran leadership there. If Demarius Randle's your second best cornerback and Ron's your third, and we bring in another guy, then I feel fine. I really do. I really feel fine if all those guys are truly healthy. But you're talking draft level or at the draft, more pass rush. We got to have that. You got to believe that Peppers is not here. Matthews, he's probably, I imagine Peppers, or excuse me, that Matthews will still be around. I don't know what role. I imagine he'll still be here, but I think that's got to be a focus of the team as well. All right. That was the first question. So second question, I actually just brought him up. This is also from Brian Avilas. You can find him on Twitter at BrianBBLL148. Is Clay Matthews done, or was it just an issue with injuries this season? Done.
I mean, not done, but I mean, I think his days of being an impact pass rusher are over. I think he may, if you're lucky, give you three plays. But I think more, I think the guy that we have come to know and love and expect to show up every week, I think that guy's gone. I honestly think you get more out of him from the inside linebacker position at this point, but even then, his coverage skills aren't great. For the money he's getting, he's not worth it. I think we've seen the last of the great, great Clay Matthews we were accustomed to seeing.
I think we've even seen the last of the good Clay Matthews. I mean, you can talk about the injuries all you want, but that shoulder injury came about halfway through the year, and he was really bad before that. Even playing at inside linebacker, you could describe him as solid. But right now, I wouldn't give him a whole lot of playing time over Jake Ryan or Joe Thomas, let alone if Blake Martinez shows any improvement next year. I don't see a spot for him. I don't. Maybe some third down pass rushing a little bit, preferably from the inside, because he seems more able to do that from there at this point. But if Clay Matthews is starting on this defense next year, we're probably having the same conversation a year from now. It's just, he's not good enough to be starting on a good defense.
Yeah. For me though, I don't disagree with you guys. I feel like the loyalty that they give to some of these guys, you can even look at Julius Peppers as Exhibit A this season. You know, there are times it's easier to criticize Clay because Peppers at times would come up with a big sack just out of nowhere. He'd be completely ineffective for the whole game. And then in a big moment, he'd come up with a sack. You're like, oh, Peppers, nice play. I mean, which is, you can't just throw that. You can't just throw that away. I mean, those are valuable plays.
Clay
for
did the
defense.
Same thing, just less often.
He had the strip sack in the Giants game where he ran down the field and collected it.
But he did nothing else that entire game.
And that, yeah,
no, nothing else.
The game was, you know, pretty much in hand already at that point too.
Right.
So it's just, what's interesting about that is that Peppers is what, 36, 37 years old. Clay Matthews is only 30. Like,
I would take Julius Peppers again next year over Clay Matthews.
See, I would not. I would not. No. I would tend to think that if it's it's a shoulder injury we knew about. The speed issue with Clay is, like, I've never seen the dude move so slow. I mean, there are times when he was chasing
Brock Osweiler
in the game against Houston in Lambeau, and he could not run Brock Osweiler, man. He could chase down Russell Wilson in his prime. I can't.
Saw him chase down Mike Vick in that Super Bowl year.
That's so true. Yeah. Yes.
He can't chase down Brock anymore. He's done.
His injury that was stated was a shoulder injury. It has nothing to do with his lower body and his speed.
I know.
A shoulder might keep you from pumping your arms when you're running, so it slows you down a little bit. But to slow you down from chasing down Mike Vick to not chasing down Brock Osweiler, that's bad.
Would he win a foot race against
the Manning brothers right now? I don't even know.
That's the thing though. It's a shoulder injury knew about. I gotta believe there was something else there. The dude's only 30 years old. He's only 30 years old.
Unless he had a leg amputated, there's no reason for him to move that slow.
I don't know, it's strange to me.
You wanna know who was 30 years old when he left Green Bay? Aaron Campman. Aaron Campman was 30 years old when the Packers were like, "All right, we're done with you." I know I just wanted to drop Aaron Campman in on this conversation because I wanted to say his name. But it's one of those things where I think Clay has just
the difference is that Aaron Campman had an expiring contract and Clay doesn't. Clay is expiring next year, and I wouldn't be surprised. True.
And it was also a switch from the 4-3 to the 3-4.
Yeah, and he was coming off an ACL injury.
All right, guys. All right, make me look like an idiot.
anytime, buddy.
Fine.
Anytime.
But
anytime.
The bottom line is Clay's like most sacks in the season is 13.5, and I mean when you look at statistically where everyone else is in the league, I mean we're talking like the league leader has about 19. Like Clay has shown ability to get to the quarterback throughout his career, but at the same time, like, has he ever really been like extremely elite at his position? I don't know if he can say that.
Well, he had that defensive player of the year, and he was definitely elite that year. But I mean, the rest of his career, you'd say he was very good, and that's about as far as you can go.
Well, I mean, you can't just count sacks either. He caused a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, he was always in the backfield, smart guy. Like he, I don't know, would be a little over aggressive at times, but I don't really want to say that Matthews was elite for only one season.
No.
Like Matthews was massive for us. Like he was best player on that, on some of the, like some great defenses for a while. So, I mean, I'm not saying that what he did in the past was bad, but that player's gone.
My last point on this is that I'm more high on Matthews jumping more to an impact role than I am about Demarius Randall. Truthfully, I really am. How dare you?
I'll fight you in the streets with my
It's a confidence thing.
We're talking about a young dude with athleticism and potential who has shown playmaking ability versus a guy who hasn't been a playmaker in 3 years.
Claymaker. He hasn't been a claymaker in a few years. Thank you.
And he's Randall, lost like three steps on his speed, man.
It's not as much. It's a health issue, obviously, with Randall, but it's also a confidence issue. With Matthews, there's obviously no shortage of confidence. I can't believe with that guy. So if it's a matter of just getting 100% healthy. I think the uphill battle is much more of a battle for a guy like Randall based on the season that he's had and Rollins too than a Clay Matthews. That's truly what I think. And I think it's more important.
Doesn't mean a whole lot if you can't make it to the place that you're confident you'll make it to.
Nah, I see what Jordan's saying though. Like it's if it truly was Clay's health, then he'll bounce. Then he wasn't making
plays those 2 years at inside linebacker really either. And he was healthy. He played all 16 games in those seasons and he wasn't a playmaker then.
I don't know if I'd go that far. He was pretty effective as an inside linebacker when we put him there.
He was solid. He wasn't a playmaker though.
That's what I'm talking about.
But he was playing out of position.
I would take solid for Clay Matthews. I mean, you can't describe Demarius Randall as solid. this, you know,
I don't think Clay Matthews can even be solid anymore, though. He's too slow to be solid.
Again, though, if that's an injury thing, then you can see him getting a step back. The dude's not 35. He's only 30. So that's why, again, I have optimism that Clay can get back to being a marginally impact player. He's not a superstar. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying he can be an impactful player for this defense. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Good stuff, guys. This is great. I'm having fun. All right. We got one more. We got one more question. This comes from our beloved producer, Josh Shack. You can find him on Twitter at Armand_Hammers. He said this.
Jason.
That's right. That's right. His question is, if you were in a falling elevator and jumped right before it hit bottom, would Capers still be a good fit for this team?
Look, just the knowledge that Capers is more than likely going to be back next year. If I'm in a falling elevator, I'm not even going to try to time it. I'm just going to say that fate has told me that it's time. That's it.
That's fair.
That's it. I'm really depressed about the fact that he's more than likely going to be back.
I mean,
if Josh wants all of our opinions on this, then I would have to say that I tend to agree with Brian again. So, Dusty, if you have anything to say, go ahead.
Nah, it's the same thing. I mean, I don't have confidence. I don't have confidence in Capers anymore, but I'm also past being upset about it because, I don't know. I tried to learn a very long time ago that it's hard. Just try not to get upset about things that you have no control over, and have got no control over the situation. It's frustrating that they keep doing this, but man, as long as they keep doing it, I'm not going to hope for change, or I will hope for change, but I just won't expect it. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's a bad fit for this team, especially right now. But man, I think I'm going to be upset about it anymore for like one day, just whenever they lose in the playoffs. And after that, I'll be like, well, this is who they are. And they still made it this far. So it's frustrating, but it is what it is at this point.
Bad fit for the team, even worse fit for Ted Thompson.
Guys, I could get real wonky about the fact that if you're in a falling elevator and jumped right before it hit the bottom, that it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. You'd still probably perish.
Yes, it would.
It would not. It would not matter.
Certainly sounds like a nerd.
Leave it up to Jordan to plug in.
Like I said,
to plug in the Pythagorean theorem and try and put a mathematical equation to this.
Really try and dive into
what Josh's question
really
was
more
all
a
about.
Physics thing, but you know, not. You
oh
know.
My gosh, Jordan!
Pythagorean.
So moving on to our final thoughts segments. Anything to get Jordan to freaking shut up right now, that would be great. So, I mean, guys, it's time. It is time for the final thoughts. All right. I have deemed it that time as the host.
All right.
To call it.
It's probably about
the
that time
for final thoughts. And, Manel Shevitz, Brian, give it to us. What are your final thoughts this week?
Dude. Starting off with the dumbest thing I saw on social media this week. That's my new thing. This is kind of cheating because it was more of an interview and an article, but I saw it on social media first, so I'm going to count it. Grady Jarrett of the Atlanta Falcons complaining about the Packers getting away with a lot of holding calls. So here's my three problems with that. One, there's holding on like every single play in every NFL game. Always, okay? And you can't call it on everyone, okay? Two, they don't get away with anything more than other people, and I'm not going to push this point because I'm not going to go watch the film of every single game of every single team and talk about who gets away with what more often. I don't have that kind of time, and I would think that Grady Jarrett doesn't either. Three, dude, you just won the NFC Championship game. You're going to Houston to play in a Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. Why are you sitting there complaining in an interview about the team you just beat the crap out of getting away with holding calls? I'm thinking back, I mean, as a fan, not even a player, I'm thinking back to that game. We beat the Bears. We get into the Super Bowl. I didn't have anything negative to say about the Bears in that game. Because I didn't care. They weren't an issue anymore. They were gone. They were in the past. I was thinking Super Bowl the whole time. Why is he in an interview talking about how the team that he just beat the crap out of got away with holding calls? It's asinine. It's stupid. It's petty. It's annoying. Makes no sense. Yeah, having said that, moving on. We'll just wrap things up. As John mentioned before, we're going to be releasing some mini episodes and things like that that will only be available on our feed. So make sure you click subscribe to Pack to the Future on iTunes, Android, Stitcher. They were on all the big ones. So whatever podcasting app you're using, we're on it. So search Pack to the Future and subscribe to that for a whole lot of off-season content. We're going to be bringing it every week, hopefully every month for sure. Lots of stuff in the off-season, so stay tuned. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian. You can find us at @PTTF_podcast.
As Brian just described to you guys, I did give you a list of specific instructions as to what to do. Actually, when you get
follow them blindly
the subscription stage. So follow them with great haste and diligence. Dusty, please, yes. Your final thoughts, please, right now.
I've got three. So, you know, I like to look at the cheap tickets for the upcoming week. And as we all know, the only game this upcoming week is the Pro Bowl. So I looked at the cheap tickets for the Pro Bowl. So this is kind of a weird little oddity. So they didn't have them listed on ESPN, which is where I normally go, which I think is through Ticketmaster. So I went through StubHub. You can get a Pro Bowl ticket for $94, which is like $90 too much to go to Orlando to go see the Pro Bowl. But here's the truly weird thing. So the Pro Bowl is $94. A Pro Bowl parking pass is $240. $240 to park. Like,
just, what are they doing? Know, are they parking you on Dumbo the Ride?
I don't know.
In
like, I think
Disney World or what the frick?
I think if you buy the ticket, like the parking ticket, I think you can actually play on the team. Like, I assume that's what it is. So maybe $240 isn't that bad. Like, I don't know, but I thought that was odd that it was just so much larger than the ticket itself. So that's fun. So guys, don't go to Orlando to go see the Pro Bowl. That game is rubbish. Just pure garbage. So I love football and I refuse to watch the game because it's terrible. Awful. Like it's every year I think, oh, you know, I'm going to watch some of this. And then I never do because it's terrible.
So Dusty, what you're saying is that for the cost of a parking ticket to the Pro Bowl, you can go to 3 playoff Chiefs games.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. That's accurate. That's exactly what you can do, John. Exactly what I'm saying. Second final thought. Man, we were talking earlier about, I can't remember if it was on the show or before the show, about Taco Wallace. And Taco Wallace is like one of my favorite names of all time. And he was with the Packers for like 2 weeks, I think back in 05. So here's a fun little thing. So my first ever Packers game was actually in Cincinnati. It was the Favre 5 interception game, where as Favre was dropping back to throw the ball in the final seconds for the tying touchdown, a guy ran on the field and stole the ball from his hand. That was my first ever NFL game. And the fun thing about that, so Taco Wallace dressed for that game, as well as Willie Quinney. Now, Willie Quinney is someone a lot of people probably don't know. You guys ever heard of Willie Quinney?
No, that's, I have not.
Okay, so I used to play Madden against my brother a lot, and my youngest brother, and we hated running the ball, so we just had to throw all the time, and then we got sick of playing with NFL teams, so Madden at the time, you could actually pick, whatever, the European League. What was the name of that one? NFL Europe. You pick NFL Europe teams, and we had to throw every single time, and I had... I'm blanking on who my quarterback was, but Willie Quinney was on that team. I'd never heard of him, but that dude was just lighting up. He went for like 500 yards in that game, 8 touchdowns, just bonkers. And he was with the Packers for that game with Taco Wallace, maybe my favorite ever Green Bay wide receiver duo that never actually sniffed the field. So that was fun. That was my first ever NFL game. I got to see those two just titans together. It was very exciting. My last final thought. So after Packer season ends, it's always very sad. I usually take a day or two to have to collect myself. I've gotten better lately. But one of the ways I've coped, I think I talked about this last year, is I go home after a game and I watch just at least one violent movie, usually an action movie or a horror movie or something. Usually I go with, say, like The Raid or Mad Max or Dread. Like Dread was a real favorite. This year I actually went doubleheader. I went John Wick, which I don't know if you guys have seen John Wick yet, but you guys, like the second one's coming out. I told you a while ago to watch it.
I remember
so
this.
John Wick.
No, Dusty. Yeah. No, truthfully, I've seen the commercials for John Wick 2, and I'm like, I haven't seen John Wick 1, but a guy I know, and it's you, Dusty, yep. has said that John Wick 1 was the first, was really good.
Yeah, watch John Wick 1, because it helped me get over this loss. I did John Wick, and then the Evil Dead remake. And just between those two, you know, it got the violence, it got the rage out of me, so that was exciting. So I mean, what you take from this is watch John Wick, guys. Just watch John Wick. The second one's coming out soon, but everything ends in a headshot. Like, it's awesome. He just shoots everyone in the head. Guys, it's brilliant. Like brilliant piece of cinema. So those are my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely.
Dusty has gotten to a point where every time I see Keanu Reeves' face, I just think of you.
That's what I'm working for.
And I can't say that I hate that. So
I appreciate it, man.
And the other great thing that you did too is you referenced NFL Europe, which our producer Josh has. I think right now he has two hats.
Yep.
From NFL Europe teams.
And, for the Rhein guys, you got the Rhein guys down there.
Barcelona Dragons is
Rhein Fire. Rhein Fire was my team.
Nice. He has Barcelona Dragons and one other, which, you know, just Josh, just tweet us in and tell us what the other one is. And we'll go from there. But very good reference on NFL Europe. And Jordan,
thank you.
I'm going to wait on yours because I'm going to give mine and then I'm going to let you close out the show because this is my show and I get to do whatever I want.
That was a tease. That was pretty bad.
It was a tease.
That was so terrible that I'm going to let Jordan go. So go ahead, Jordan.
No, John, please. No, I'll go. All right. You guys bring up NFL Europe. I mean, you're talking about one of the great NFL Europe stars played for the Green Bay Packers. He was actually a backup quarterback for the Packers. You guys should know who I'm talking about. John, not Seneca Wallace. Going back even early 2000s. We're talking Craig Knoll.
Akili Smith.
Craig Knoll.
I was a big believer in Craig Knoll.
Not only a great NFL Europe player, he was all NFL Europe 2003 for the Scottish Claymores.
Ooh, man, that's a good team there.
Bringing you some
beat out Chad Hutchinson. Bringing
some NFL
for the
Europe, nice. RIP, nice. Knowledge to you all in this podcast. So, Anyways, no, so a couple final thoughts. First of all, I actually just today I've been living in Virginia for about a year and a half. I lived in Ohio back when I went to college and a few years after college. So I get a letter in the mail today from the Ohio Department of Taxation, and it turns out that I overpaid on my taxes and I want to get some more money back. So first final thought is I'm getting some money back. Ooh. Guys. I am pretty stoked about that.
Sounds like that's awesome, Jordan.
I love
Where
it.
Are we going?
Thank you, Ohio. You've served me well once again.
We're going to Toronto. Jordan, you're paying for my plane ticket. You're going to pay for my plane ticket to the 6?
We're driving there. We're driving there, John.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry. So.
I feel you on that.
Okay. Also, second final thought is Dusty, you're throwing some major shade at the Pro Bowl. Me personally, I couldn't be more excited to see guys like local favorites like Joe Thomas just explode off the line and have a good conversation with Everson Griffin, you know, on the line.
I knew I didn't.
While this happens, Andy Dalton is throwing darts to Jarvis Landry over the middle. I can't wait. I can't wait for the Pro Bowl.
Andy Dalton has never thrown a dart.
I mean, we're talking about this is supposed to be the best players in the NFL, and I'm supposed to tune in to watch Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's had some good moments in the NFL, Brian.
Come on, man.
Statistically,
best players in the league, man.
You guys want to sit? I'm supposed to watch Andy Dalton?
Very good.
I'm just going to show you. I'm looking up some of the dudes that are actually playing in the Pro Bowl right now. to let you guys know, the long snapper for the NFC, Jake McQuaid for the Rams, had a great season. Looking forward to watching him.
That's good to know.
That's going to be good.
It's good to know.
Kick returner for the AFC, Peyton Hillis.
Kick returner for the AFC.
That I would watch.
Let's see. Kick returner is actually Tyreek Hill. And then DJ Alexander. There's a lot of Chiefs in the Pro Bowl, which is... That's also...
So there's no Peyton
There's
Hillis.
Also a lot of Buffalo Bills in the Pro Bowl. Explain that to me.
I don't know. The Pro Bowl is a broken crapshoot.
You have a...
JP no. Osmond.
So, Jordan, where can we find you on Twitter? Is it at JGPack41? Okay, great.
Great. Guys. Moving on.
Yes, that is
great. My final thought is that is
where you can find me on Twitter. Thank you. Duly guys, noted. This has been a great podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Oh, sorry, John. Go ahead.
My final thought is, as much as I'd love to hear Jordan ramble on about which Chiefs made the Pro Bowl, I would just
about Willie
like
Quinney
say,
for like 2 minutes. That's way worse than Jordan.
I do a lot of things way worse than Jordan. Let's just be honest about that. But I don't want to fully mention that. But my one final thought that I have for you guys is that I just feel blessed to have been brought on to this podcast to just kind of bring some laughs and enjoyment to you guys. Hopefully we have as a collective. I've just had so much fun doing this podcast for this year so far, and we've shared some great moments. We've shared some very dull moments, very rarely. But no, I just absolutely love just being part of this podcast, and I appreciate you guys for bringing me onto this thing and kind of sticking up, putting up with my craziness, but. No, that's pretty much where my final thought takes me. And now that the Packers season has finally come to an end, I just want to officially thank you guys for allowing me to be part of this podcast. And that's pretty much it. So, guys, I am on Twitter at John Jameson. Follow me if you wish. Other than that, don't feel like because the season is over that we are just done giving you guys Packers coverage. Because that is just not the truth, okay? We are still dedicated to the green and gold, and we will always bring you the best coverage you could ever ask for. Look for our miniseries. Like I said, go find it on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher, any site like that. And we'll still be kicking out articles and all the good stuff that you guys could ever want and ask for and pray for and hope for. Everything that you want, Packers, we have it. So just do it already, okay? And I'm sorry that the Packers season came to an end, but we, as Pack to the Future, have not. Tune in for more.
God bless.
Goodbye.